Harold Wildish was an Englishman. He was a missionary to the West Indies. He was an excellent storyteller, an evangelist and Bible teacher who came to New Zealand in the late 1950s. And I remember him telling the story of the richest man in the valley. Hope I could tell it something like he told it. There was a wealthy squire who owned and lived in a fertile valley. He had servants whom he treated kindly, and he made sure that they always had the necessities of life. Well, at one time, a rumour was circulating that at midnight, on a named day, the richest man in the valley would die. This so-called prophecy rather troubled the squire, and indeed all who worked for him. The squire thought, this is about me. And he was so disturbed that he called for his doctor to come and examine him. The intense checkup was duly made, and there was reassuring news. The doctor said to him, I find no reason for you to die. You are perfectly healthy. However, on the stated day, the squire became even more troubled, and so he called for his doctor again. Would he come for dinner that night, spend the evening with him until midnight, just to be sure? Well, the doctor duly arrived with two other medical assistants just to make sure any emergency was well covered. As midnight got near, the squire became greatly agitated, especially when midnight began to strike. They counted the chime. 9, 10, 11, and then 12. And then what happened? Nothing happened. See, said the doctor, I told you, you are perfectly healthy with nothing to worry about. The medical team waited for about another 10 minutes, and then they left the squire to go to bed. And just as he was ready to jump into bed, greatly relieved, he heard there was a knock at the door. Who was there? Was it safe? He plucked up enough courage and went and opened the door. And there in front of him was a 12-year-old boy. He recognized him. It was the son of his lowest paid servant. Sir, said the boy, my mum sent me to tell you that at midnight, my daddy died suddenly. But it's okay. He's gone to be with Jesus in heaven. And my mum just wanted you to know. Well, the squire was taken aback. The prediction was that at midnight, the richest man in the valley would die. And then it dawned on him the poorest of all his workers was in fact the richest man in the valley. He was the servant who was his horse groomsman, who was known to have what they called a deep faith in Jesus. The lowliest of all was in fact the richest man in the valley. And you know, that's true according to the Bible. The richest people in the world are those who have a real faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a letter in the Bible written to Christians who are going through many trials, many difficulties, health, financial, some of them were in extreme poverty, persecution. And this is what Peter says to them, and it's recorded in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Listen to it. God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the range of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will protect you. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a little while. Now I'm going to ask my wife to come and read our passage this morning from Luke chapter 12. Verses 13 to 21, and then she's got another passage as well.
This is headed up, the parable of the rich fool. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide out father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth and not have a rich relationship with God.'" Verse 27, "Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need."
Thank you, Grace. Just 3 points I would like to leave with you about the words that we have read from the scriptures this morning. The first one is the context. You see, Jesus was teaching. And verse 1 of Luke 12 says there were thousands milling around. Because you see, Jesus was worth listening to, and he still is worth listening to. No one spoke or taught like him. What was he saying? He was repeating again much of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. I guess many of you have heard that expression, Sermon on the Mount, recorded in great detail in Matthew chapters 5 right through to the end of chapter 7. And what did Jesus teach this day that Luke remembers and records? Some significant reminders. Here are some of them. He said, God will bring to light all the things that we have done and said. Luke 12, verse 2. That really startles me. Oh, Jesus, is that true? Everything we've ever done or said will be revealed. Another thing. Jesus taught that day that God cares about even the small things of creation. And he refers to 5 sparrows that were bought at the temple to sacrifice. And that was sort of the cheapest sacrifice that you could get. For just a few small coins, you could get 5 sparrows and you could give them as an offering to God. Then he said another interesting thing. God knows in minute detail all about every one of us, even the number of hairs in your head. Do you know how many hairs are in your head? You want to have a go? Phil, yeah, you know. But I bet he doesn't even know. And then another interesting thing he said, that God will defend and help you to give the right answer to those who persecute and question your faith. So Jesus was teaching many encouraging things, was he not? But then there came an interruption. Someone in the crowd said to him, here is his words. Teacher, tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Now listen to the answer that Jesus gave. Who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? And in John chapter 3 in our Bible, we have the statement made to a religious man named Nicodemus. And Jesus said, I did not come to judge the world, but that the world through me might be saved. And so that leads us now to the second point, and it's a warning. And here it is. Beware of coveting. Do you remember the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet. Do not covet. Now listen to the words of Jesus in verse 15 that we read this morning. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. For a person's life does not consist in their possessions. Then Jesus told a parable about a rich farmer whose land produced a bumper crop, more than he could store in his present facilities. And listen to the words of Jesus starting in verse 17 of Luke 12. And I want you to notice the pronouns as Jesus describes this man's thoughts and his words. He thought, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crop." He said this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns. I will build bigger ones. There I will store all my grain and goods, and I will say to myself, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." And then Jesus comes with these powerful words, But God said, you fool. I looked up the original New Testament Greek word that was translated fool in our English Bible. And it's a very, very strong word. You heedless person. You witless person. You're not thinking right. Because this very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? You see, he forgets that there is, according to the teachings of Jesus, a life hereafter. And he was forgetting that life lies, that eternity lies ahead. I thought of the psalmist in Psalm 90 who said, "O Lord, teach us the brevity of life." 60 years ago, I would have heard people say that, the brevity of life. It seemed an awful long time to get from age 1 to 20. But now, 60 years later, it's gone terribly fast, I tell you. So the psalmist says, "Teach us the brevity of life and to number our days." And so God said in the story of Jesus, and when God speaks, remember, it happens. Have you ever read Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter in the Bible? God said, "Let there be light." And there was. "Let there be a sea." And there was. "Let there be a sky." "Let us make man in our own image." And even that happened from the dust of the earth. I tell you, when God speaks, we had better listen. I had better listen. And when Jesus was here on earth, remember who he was? He was no ordinary man. Yes, he was a true man. But he was God shown to us in a human body. And when he was in the boat in a huge storm, and he rose up and spoke to the wind and the waves and said, "Be still." and there was a great car. Now, I didn't have this in my notes, but I remember having a go at that once down at Foxton Beach all by myself. But the sea was really roaring and I ate my lunch down there and I thought of Jesus in the storm and I thought of his words. So, you know, I hopped out of my car there on the ocean beach front and there was nobody around. So I yelled in the loudest voice I could, "Be still!" And what happened? Nothing, yeah. So you see, when God speaks, we better take real notice. And there are many of us worry about this life. It consumes us. And we forget what lies beyond this life. And this is what the man in the parable that Jesus did, that's exactly what he did. He only thought of the now. Oh, beware of wishing until it consumes you. Beware of anything that causes you to forget what happens beyond this life. In the Bible, there's a famous verse, Hebrews 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto people once to die, and after this, after death, the judgment. Oh. Every one of us, me included, one day will give an account of ourselves to God. It's pretty frightening, isn't it? That's what the Bible teaches. So Jesus gives us this warning. Beware of being greedy for what you don't have and go around wishing that you did have. Richard Print, listen to that voice. Beware. Think of eternity, because it's outside time, but in time sense, it's a long, long time. So beware of coveting. Beware of wishing I had what that person had. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that you should never have wealth or anything like that. But what he is saying is, beware of wishing all the time until it consumes your every thought that you forget about the afterlife. Beware of covetousness. And then the third thing that I'd like to leave with you is the counsel of Jesus about all this. In verse 21, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Can I read that again to you? The words of the scripture in verse 21 of Luke 12. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Saint Augustine, an early Christian father, in his commentary on Luke chapter 12, made a statement like something like this. You see, the earthly farmer who was described as a fool would have been far better off if he had put some of the grain into the stomachs of starving people. Thought that was a very, very significant statement. A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth. Now that just leaves us with some questions. And the first question is this, that I think we need to ask ourselves. Do I have a relationship with God? Do you? Has there been a time in your life when you have committed yourself to God? Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know, I've met many people in my lifetime who are working like mad. They're trying to do this and they're trying to do that so that when they meet God, they think they will be accepted by him. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only life. And let us hear this morning again that no matter who we are or what we have done, we cannot come to God except through Jesus Christ. So that's a question I would like to leave with you this morning. And my prayer is that you will have a real relationship with God, which can only be had through faith in Jesus. Second question. How can I store up wealth in heaven? Because you see, I can't go to the bank and take out some money and send it off there. I'd probably be calling for the mental health people if I went to the bank and asked them to do that, wouldn't they? How can I? And anyway, the trouble is I haven't got much money anyway. It's hard enough without trying to send some off to heaven. How can I develop more and more? Because I know many of you have a deep relationship with Christ. But how can I develop that further? Thought about this for a while, for the last couple of weeks. And I decided about three things. I need to constantly review how I use my time. And I'm talking to those of you who have a faith in Jesus Christ now. All of us have 24 hours in a day. And the doctor tells me I should sleep for 8, so that still leaves 16. And then if my maths are right, I used to have to work about 9 or 10 hours a day. So that leaves another 6 hours and maybe you spend another hour eating. When I review my time, I find that I waste an awful lot of time. And I find that I'm spending more time in front of the TV box or something like that than developing my relationship with God. So I would say to you this morning, do a review of your time. How much are we wasting? And then review how I use my possessions. Some people haven't got many possessions, but they've got some. How am I using the house I live in? What about the car that I'm using? Oh, but that belongs to me. Does it? Does it, Christian? Belongs to the Lord, really. Everything we have really is His. And we're just mere stewards of it. And therefore we have responsibilities as to how we're using it and what we're doing with it. And then review how I'm using my talents. All of us have some special gifts. They're called spiritual gifts that God has given us. How are we using them? It's a subject by itself. But there are other natural talents. We see some of them expressed today. Some can sing. And some, like me, can't. Some can play instruments. And some of us can't. You know what I mean? And some of us are really good with our hands and can help people make things or fix up things. We can do all these things in saying, in this, I'm working for God. And that's one of the things I've learnt recently. It took a long time for me to learn that when I go to work, I'm not working for myself. I should be working for the Lord. And I tell you, when you tell yourself that, sometimes the boredom of the job takes on a different view. I'm working for Jesus Christ. And it makes all the difference. So I need to review how I use my time, my possessions, my talents. You see, there lies ahead of us, for every person, a final encounter with Jesus as judge. And His judgments will be fair, and they will be just. From it there will be no appeal. It may be this will happen for us when we die or when He returns. So, don't let us be foolish people. I'm sure you want to be wise. Always be ready and store up your wealth in heaven. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the story that you told. Thank you for your words and your advice for each of us to better our relationship with you and have eternal wealth. Oh Lord, speak to us this morning through the power of your Spirit and by the power of the Word of God. Help us to be wise and not to be foolish. Help us to spend our days down here working for you in whatever we are doing. Oh Lord, we feel so weak many times. Forgive us for the times when we fail to do this. But just keep reminding us, please do, that we need to develop our relationship with you. Thank you for your reminder this morning. And in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.